Welcome inside the Coach's Room, the number one podcast for football coaches that want to develop. Every week we talk to elite coaches and backroom staff to hear about their experiences, how they develop, and how they develop their players.
It's not about always doing what you are good at, but also making from 4 or 5, making it a 6 or a 7.
For this episode, I was invited to come to FC Groningen to talk with the performance staff of the first team. I sat down with Jarno Voorhindholt, who is the first team fitness coach, Maxime Wouters, who is the performance analyst, and Frank van der Stelt, who is the first team performance coach. We split this episode into 2 parts, and you're now listening to part 1 about the performance culture at FC Groningen. En? Goed hoorbaar?
Zeker.
Ja. Yep.
Ja? Ja. Voorbereid? Ja. Prepared?
Always.
Always well prepared. Prepared. Well prepared. As well?
Yeah.
Maxime?
Yeah, it will be okay.
Okay, well, that sound, that, yeah, I didn't hear any accent. No, not a Dutch one, not a Flemish one.
Okay, but if Dutch people are going to judge my English, then...
Okay, we should never judge any English.
That's another cook.
Exactly. Okay, perfect.
Different cookie.
Okay, guys, we are already recording, actually.
Okay.
Are we already started?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Of course. Fine.
We
yeah.
just started.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, where am I? Maxime.
Yeah, at FC Groningen. FC Groningen. Our training complex.
Okay, cool. Because we normally start, what is the most important item in your coach's room? Well, just to give some context, I'm here with the full performance staff of FC Groningen, almost, well, at least 3 important members, with Maxime, Frank, and Jarno, my guys.
Welcome.
And we are here on your invitation, Jarno.
Yeah.
This podcast is not about you. That's what you stated perfectly before we started, but let's start with you first, because Sam nominated you.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why we're here. And you said, okay, I have to be here. If we don't do it online, you have to be here.
Yeah, of course, because it happens over here. And Maxime, Frank, and I were working together. 7 days a week, almost.
Yeah.
And I think when you are looking at a performance point of view, I think we're in a good setting over here. I just can't do it without them. And I think, you know, when you're looking on the opposite, they can do it without me.
Yeah, well, that's up to them. Let's hear about that later.
But it's all about the team. So that's why they are here. And we talked about it. Yeah, that we can do it face to face, but I think it's better when we are here with the almost full group performance staff.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Okay, and just real short, what is your official title?
My official title is physical trainer of the first team.
Okay.
It's nothing special.
Frank, what's your official title?
It's performance coach of the first team.
Performance coach.
Yeah. Okay. It's a bit different, but...
Okay, yeah, we'll hear the new ones later.
Yeah.
And yours, Maxime?
Performance analyst.
Performance analyst.
Okay, yes.
So physical performance and analyst. That's kind of the difference, if you put it real short. Okay, guys, and... Okay, we are now in a meeting room, but you have an office. I haven't seen it, and maybe we can see it later. How does it look like, and what's the most important, you think, Frank?
Well, we are in a room with all the coaches. So
the whole staff?
Yeah, whole staff. So Jarno, Maxime, me, goalkeeper coach, and head coach with 2 assistant coaches. It looks like an office room with a big screen and a lot of football images on the wall with tactics, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a big table like this, and that's what this looks like.
And when you step in the room, what's the first thing that you grab or think, or what's the first thing that comes to mind?
For me personally?
Yeah.
For me personally, it's my laptop with, everything is on it. And I mostly work behind my laptop, and... That's the most important thing to me in the coach's room.
Okay. Why? Yeah, well, no, let's put it, what do you do on your laptop? You look at numbers, okay, of course. Or you look at videos. What is it that you do?
Not that much at numbers. Okay. It's more the interviews I have with players. So I have a lot of conversations with them regarding the lifestyle and all the performance things they are doing here. So I mostly look back at the notes I took from the meetings we have and see, okay, at which individual needs what attention on this day or on this week. And then I'm going to work with them on any things they want to work on. So it can be nutrition, but also fluid regulation or sleep or just planning skills, that kind of stuff.
Okay. So your laptop is your tool to see where you're at, in what part of the journey you are with which player.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And for you, Maxim?
Yeah, I think if Frankie says...
By the way, I'm not going to ask questions all the time. I just hop in.
I'm just thinking about, it's not the only thing that Frank is doing, because he does a lot of things also outside of, the center we are working in. And maybe it's good when you look at, the visits he has with the players at home.
Sure.
And you are more than only a performance coach at our performance center.
But no.
It's more than that.
No, exactly. It's that's just the things.
Maxim, it's your turn later. You know this, isn't right?
No.
No, that's just in the coach's room. But normally I walk around on the complex with all the all the players, and also assist Jarno with the physical session. So it's more of only about lifestyle, but not just lifestyle. Also the physical part, which is essential for football players these days.
Yeah. Okay, but you also said outside of the building or outside of the complex. What is that? What does that mean?
It can be on the pitch. It can be in the gym. It can be anywhere near corporate.
Anywhere in their lives. Is that literally?
Yeah, because I normally, when a new player arrives here, in the first few months, I go visit them at their home. Not only to see, okay, how do you live, but also are you able to cook a normal meal?
Sure.
Are you able to get a good plan for a week? So I do a lot of things outside of here, and just try to influence the things that players do outside of the 2 hours on the pitch here, or the 2 hours in training, because the other 22 hours, they're also professional football players. So you try to have impact on all those things that are supporting the performance on the pitch.
Okay, I have already 10,000 questions, but let's go to Maxim first.
Yes. I hear Frank saying he's doing a lot of his work on his computer. I think that's the case for me as well.
Yeah.
I'm responsible for everything that's related to video and data, tactical data, for the coaching staff and the players. So it involves live capturing the game, coding the game, but as well analyzing the game afterwards and beforehand. But as well, for example, virtual reality system feedback sessions with players, so where they can put themselves in the game again in a 3D view. So all these things I'm responsible for.
Okay. So you are, am I summarizing this? Putting the playing style in data, or the data shows you the playing style?
Yeah, both.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Already 1,000 questions also, but first let's go to Jarno. And you? Are you a desk guy, or you prefer to spend as less time behind the desk and go out on the pitch?
No, I'm when I walk into our room, I'm a big believer that if you want to have an impact, you have to be there. So I don't believe in being in another room and try to have an impact. So I have an impact in our room. I have an impact in the locker room, and I'm a people's guy. So I make a lot of conversations with the players, with the coaches. Be really critical. I think when we are preparing our training sessions, I'm very critical about the size of the pitches. How we are working. From our plan, from the process. I'm a really more of a process guy, although we have to perform every week. So yeah, I'm more of a guy, you know, who was in the room and tried to have an impact, but not to be really be there. But I think I'm a good observer, a good listener, and try to see what's I'm always thinking about the big picture. So, you know, that's my role. And
yeah.
Of course, on physical
data sure.
and development.
So yeah. Is that also, okay, we're talking in metaphors here, but that is your main thing when you step into the office? Okay, what's the end goal? What are we doing here? Is that your main focus?
I think the focus has to be what's happening on the pitch, how to prepare for the sessions on the pitch. So as a physical preparator, Frank is assisting me in the gym, on the pitch, on individual level, but also on group level, to see, you know, what's happening on the pitch, what do we want to see, and how are we preparing for that? So I'm always focused on, you know, what's our goal? What's our goal? What's our goal? And no more, no less. Yeah.
Okay. And the most important thing that you use then is that your laptop where the goals are?
My eyes and my ears.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Because you are the, well, that's the role you have towards me as well already, but you are the communicator. You talk, you connect.
I think I'm and you know, I'm connecting a lot. What I see in the dressing room, what I see in the medical room, what I see in our room, you know, with the staff, and what you know, the head coach at the moment, Danny, wants to see on the pitch, and I'm the more the communicator. What do we want to see? Okay, let's prepare for that, and let's go.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, and you already mentioned the coach. The main name of this podcast is Inside the Coach's Room. You are all coaches as well. But let's connect your job to, let's say, the job of a head coach. I'm still going to go in on to you all the details with Frank later on because I still have all those questions. But how is that collaboration? So you come in the morning. Of course, there's one guy responsible, which in this case is Danny. You can imagine he opens up the day or whatever. I'm interested. How does it look like? Is there a meeting? You discuss all the factors. How does it go?
Well, at 9 o'clock in the morning, we have a meeting about the session we have today. The planning is already done, so we already know what we're going to do this week.
Yeah.
Then we have at 9 o'clock we have a meeting where Frank and Maxime are already also invited. So there we are going to see, you know, what we're going to do today. And yeah, the technical, the tactical and the physical stuff is in there. And mostly the physios already came in to tell us, you know, what's the physical status of a couple of guys who are maybe injured or have a lot of problems. So we know how many players we have. And yeah, from there out, we are going to make a program for that day and maybe have an afternoon session with Maxime, with the 3D, with Frank, with some performance talks, and maybe have a physical program in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And in the morning, there's a pitch session. Yeah.
So today is a match day plus one. Yeah. You lost yesterday. Okay, it happens. You come by and you evaluate the weekend. And Maxime, for example, okay, he already knows the data, I can imagine.
Yeah. We are not in plus one, we are in plus two.
Oh, sorry, plus two.
Yeah. And I think data is one thing, but the video is the main part of the analysis. So after the game, Danny and I, we watch back the game, or together or separate, and then we come together to share our thoughts and feelings and to make one analysis that we're going to show to the players. And it's really important to think through and thorough because, it's really important if you give a good feeling, bad feeling, how you are going to influence the point of view of the players about the game. Those kind of things we discuss every day. First moment when we come into office, it's showing the clips together with the technical staff or just together. And see what are we going to show to the players and how we're going to handle the next days.
Yeah. So that's the, well, that's the process. That's a day after the match, and that it continues throughout the week, and you connect it to the upcoming match.
Yeah. Yeah. So most of the times we are going to show the collective clips. So, the clips that are important for every player in one meeting with all the players. And then we're going to split up the parts where individual players are important in that clip. So we're going to show them in a one-on-one conversation between a coach and a player.
Okay. And Frank, how does it connect with you? Because I'm a little bit thinking in that match, maybe it's match related because I'm there now with my mind. So you have the day after. You are more looking to the whole, but it affects the match as well.
For sure.
What's your role in that, let's say, plus one day or that phase after the match?
I'm more responsible for recovery. So it's my job to get the players a good recovery and to learn them how to recover well. So I can say a lot to them how to do it, but they have to actually do it. So I'm trying to help them with that and also prepare for the next games. So, for example, this week we play on Wednesday again. So there's a short time between the two matches, and then the recovery is even more important. So I give them some advices on what to do and how you can enhance the speed of the recovery. So that's more of my job on the days after a game, and during the week, I'm more in preparing for the next game.
Okay, and could it be also like, okay, some player didn't perform as he used to? It's coming from the videos or the data, or you see it and then physically it was not optimal. You can't really find something and then say, Frank, maybe you can talk to him, what maybe something is all wrong or whatever. Is that how I should see your role as well?
So sometimes it's not really clear if it's physical or just a bad day, or it's more of a mental issue, or my role is more that I'm in the middle of the group, and that I can connect with all the players quite good, so that they share some more things with me than, for example, with the head coach, because I'm more,
You're the safe haven?
No, I wouldn't say that, but I think I'm a bit more approachable for players, maybe because of my age or because of my role, but
I think you don't make the decisions. Well,
no.
It makes it easier to talk to you.
Exactly. So, in my opinion, I think a lot of players trust me with their thoughts and how they are. And I'm also not a guy, if some player talks to me, I'm saying it to the head coach.
Yeah, you lose the trust.
So I need to be really careful with that. But the most important thing is that our head coach can make good decisions and that we can win games. So if there is any information that is really necessary for our head coach to win the next game, then I need to find a way to keep the trust from the players, but also inform our head coach on what's going on with the player.
Yeah. Okay. Is that the, there's a clear connection, but is that the main connection for you guys to support the head coach and the team to win it?
No, for sure.
To achieve the goals?
For sure. For me, the only task we as a performance staff have is we develop the players individually, but the most important thing in the first team is to perform every week on the pitch. That's the main goal. So everything has to be focused on the performance in the weekend.
How's that for you, Jarno? Because you just said, okay, I'm more of a process guy. I'm. This is my assumption. Maybe you don't care if you win, or of course you care, but it's not the end goal. But there's always a balance between winning Sunday and developing throughout the season.
Yeah, but you have to know what you're responsible for and not. So, for instance, I'm responsible for the physical development and the physical performance. So there's no hard link between being really fit and winning games, but the most important KPI for me is that there's 100% availability for the coach to to make his first 11. So if you have 100% availability of every player, you know, for instance, you have 25 and there are 25, they're all fit. So that's like the process I'm in. I'm not in for, you know, you know, we have 25 fit players and why are we not winning? Because that's not I think that's not, you know, when you look at winning games, it's all about...
It's not the direct consequence.
No, it's more about, you know, having the skills to do it. And, you know, if
it's also not something you can accomplish in 1 week. You cannot go from 0% to 100%.
For instance, if you look at process, and I know not every club and not every trainer has the same idea or the same thoughts, but, you know, if players making... Two less meters high intensity runs. Yeah, we run after a game with our players who didn't play well 60 minutes or more. You know, so if we are losing games and you say, I know your feelings, and let's not run. You know, we only run when we are winning. Then you're not thinking about the big picture on the long term. So that's what I mean with in the process. It's not about that I'm a guy who doesn't like winning, because of course, you know, but you have to know what you are doing. And in most club, I'm not the most popular guy. And I know why, because sometimes I have to do things which most individuals don't like, is doing extra on days when you are feeling, you know, I don't have to do, because, you know, I'm feeling bad or I'm feeling this. But, you know, sometimes when you are not having a good day, sometimes you must have the discipline to do it. And that's what I'm really consistent in and talking about with my players.
Is that the difference between Frank will say, okay, I understand. No, I'm going to exaggerate. I understand. Sure, I know, blah, 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 emotional support, and you said, I don't give a shit.
No, I don't think so, because Frank and I are really on the same level.
But I can imagine you are, let's say, you can be, let's say, bad cop, good cop. At one point, okay, I understand. And you said, I'm sorry, but you have to do this.
Yeah, that's so it.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, but it is, to be honest, it's not a problem in our first team at the moment, because they know what to do to stay in a really good physical shape. And, you know, that's not a problem.
Yeah,
but
I see.
When we are having new players, then I like the first 3-4 weeks. Then it's sometimes we have some really nice conversations.
I see the connection with Colin there.
Yeah,
and he also is. I don't know if you are the same. Can imagine. Is this also the beast mode mentality? Always, he's always the example. He has to be, and you as well.
You have to be the example.
You have to be 100% out there. No excuses for yourself, because then you can ask the same thing from your players.
Yeah.
That's also a trait you have to have or have to learn. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, and I think we have that same mentality in our performance staff. So that's
in the whole staff or performance staff?
Oh, when you look at the moment, the whole staff. Yeah, 100%.
That's the same for everybody. You always, as a coach, well, I've been a coach myself, you always have to be the example. First one to be there, last one to leave.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
We have a really, you know, we are scoring really high, I think, on accountability.
Yeah.
Coaches, once a month we organize the Pro Coaches Room, an online meeting exclusively for professional coaches. In this meeting we exchange networking knowledge, and almost all the guests that you've listened to in this podcast are in this group. So if you are a professional coach, you work at a professional academy, you want to join this network group, find me, Arend Jan Kranenburg, on LinkedIn, send me a message, and we can add you to the group. It is a wonderful group with a lot of value. So, professional coaches, make sure you join it. If you are not a professional coach, but you also want to be part of such a group, make sure to follow us. Follow us on our social media, keep track of our platform, because after the summer of 2022, so this summer, we will start more groups of different levels. So I can assure you there will be a spot for you as well. How do you keep each other sharp on that?
Yeah, just to be honest to each other and say whatever you are thinking or feeling, and to be very critical on each other. I think that's the most important part.
Do you have an example or a situation where you thought, okay, this is what you should be as a staff?
Yeah, an example. I think it's just
an example of the performance culture. Maybe that's even easier. It doesn't have to be staff, but how you handle these situations as a club or as a group.
Support me in this, guys. But yeah, just one example is difficult to say. It's just the way we work with each other, the culture in the coaches' room, and how we treat each other. And sometimes it can be hard and rude, but we know one thing for sure, and that's when we leave the room, we're all with the same mind, and we have all the same thoughts, and we support each other. So inside the room, it can be stormy, and we can have a little fight, but outside the room, we're just one team.
Yeah. Do you sit down with players individually? I can imagine you do.
Yeah.
So for Jarno, I can imagine it's relatively easy to give an example. You just lift the most weights for a player. I'm also exaggerating again, but you can show, okay, this is how it works. But you are maybe behind the laptop with the player in a completely different context.
Yeah.
How do you set the example, or how do you create that performance culture in that moment or with the player there?
Yeah, I think I have to stimulate their self-reflection by asking questions. So the first part in the virtual reality, for example, is just asking questions. What do you see? Where do you look at? Things like that, to see what a player is experiencing in that moment. And then afterwards, I can ask questions in one certain direction to push them to the right answer, so they can see it themselves. Or I can just say, okay, but in this situation, maybe this is the best solution, or we expect you to make this run in order to create space for this player, things like that. And I think the self-reflection, to be self-critical, that's really important. And that's the thing I have to stimulate in these conversations, that a player is always aware about his strengths, but as well about the weaknesses and points of development. And this mindset, growth mindset, with a fancy word, is something we have to stimulate as well. We have a very young squad, a lot of players who are just in the beginning of their careers, who have a great career in front of them. So we have to stimulate them to take actions, to be critical on themselves, to make some kind of development plan for themselves in order to make the next step, bigger club, or next step with Groningen.
And is it the way that you reinforce, let's say, their growth mindset by showing a growth mindset yourself, by asking asking a lot of questions, maybe to be a little bit vulnerable to them so they can say they have influence on the process as well? Is that how you set an example?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Or show players who were here in the past. For an example, Asor Matusiwa was one guy with a great growth mindset. He came to me every 6 weeks. Okay, can we look at the data? What are my strengths according to the data? And can you show it with videos so it's very, very clear for me what it is to be like the best in interceptions? And even now at Stade Rennes, he's asking me, can you give me some examples of the data and where are my strengths in the Ligue 1? What can be a next step eventually? Things like that,
So that's a personal connection that came from your work together.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Okay. So the reinforcing the growth mindset, asking questions. Is there a way? Small things, be on time, be prepared, all those things.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, what Maxime mentioned about this player, Azor, but we have more examples of them, is they all have some kind of
intrinsic motivation to come to Maxime, to come to Frank or with me or one of them or combined. They all want to grow. They all want to get better. They see FC Groningen as a place where they can develop themselves, and they are getting everything out of this situation to get better. And I think that's a really great example how we are performing as a performance staff and also delivering day by day by day. I think, you know, 365 a year.
Sure.
Because we have that mentality inside our room. And that's a great example about how we are facilitating our players to get better.
Yeah, I think that's the right word.
Yeah.
Because the responsibility is for the players. We cannot push them to that level. We give them the tools to reach this level, but the responsibility is by them.
But this changed, because if you ask that to a staff 15 years ago, it was much more top-down.
Yeah.
You're nodding almost with any... because I think you highly agree.
Yeah, I agree. I also see it as my job to help players to get more of a intrinsic motivation or more of a growth mindset to develop themselves and to help them. Okay, I want to develop on some tactical skills. Okay, I will link you with Maxime. Or I want to become stronger in duels. Okay, I'll link you to Jarno. And that's what, in my opinion, makes us as FC Groningen unique, is that we as a performance staff and also as a technical staff, of course, we can help players and we really, really want to help them to become better.
And is it unique or is it nowadays a necessity almost?
I think, it is not a necessity at this moment. But I think here at Groningen we have so much support staff and we have the knowledge to help them. And I think the way we do that is kind of unique in Holland, but that's my opinion. And I hope that more players are getting this intrinsic motivation, because it's way better to work with those guys and to see them to really grow and to perform better on the pitch, because that's always the most important things. So I can learn them things about nutrition. But I'm not here to make them the best cook. That's not my job.
Yeah.
My job is to recover them and to prepare them well to perform on the pitch. And I think we have all the support staff to help them with that. And if players have the intrinsic motivation, like Jarno told, that's really nice to work with.
You said if players have, are there even any players without?
No, but we are really big on self-regulation.
Okay.
Do it by yourself. Have a really high motivation, autonomy.
Yeah.
When you look at our group, I think they are really looking at how other players are doing it. You know, we have social media, they're reading books, they're reading on the internet. You know, there's a lot of information. How about getting better? I think Frank and also Maxime are really good in bringing that information to the individual to get better, because it's not a one-on-one that if Ronaldo is doing it, that it's also good for you. When you look at our group, we have at the moment, because I write it down, we have like some kind of book club.
Yeah,
you know,
cool.
Sometimes I've given them a book. Last time I gave him a book about the Mamba mentality and about legacy of the All Blacks. We have a chess club.
Cool.
Yeah,
strategic
great.
Thinking.
No, but it's great to see that they are playing chess.
Yeah.
Before our first training, guys are coming at 9:45 to me to have a yoga session. Not everybody, but it's mostly five or six guys. Sometimes once a week, sometimes twice a week, I have a sparring session, a boxing session with them after a training. Sometimes for guys who are really want to box, but also sometimes guys who are maybe a little bit
soft side.
Straightforward in having a duels.
Sure.
And yeah, that's also, it's not about always doing what you are good at, but some also making from when you are a five or four or five, making it a six or a seven. Because as a central defender or as a right winger, you have to win duels. So if you are scared of getting into duels, yeah, you have a sparring session with me and I get you in a really uncomfortable situation and we going to see how is that work, and we're doing it really safe, you know, not that everybody is seeing it, but it's just a one-on-one and we have a conversation how you are feeling it. And it's not, so I'm not only, or we are not only a specificity as a performance analyst or a performance coach or a physical trainer. We are more than that. Sometimes I think we are more generalists with a specialist. Yeah, yeah. And Maxime calls it coaching. To be honest, I'm thinking about it, but I think I'm more like a mentor than I'm really a coach. I'm asking, but at some point I'm just giving you directions what you have to do. Otherwise you're not, how you call it? The norm.
Setting the bar.
Setting the bar, and you're diving below it, and that's not what we are working for.
Yeah, but the main factor, and I think, well, that's my conclusion and assumption here, is it, like I said, a couple of minutes ago, if you would have had this discussion 15 years ago, everybody was saying coaching is top down. You steer the group one way and they have to go that way. And it doesn't matter if they agree or not. And now coaching, every coach on this podcast says, okay, it is about relationships. It is about the human connection. You are seeing your coaches and your players more than your family, your friends and your spouse, whatever. So the connection here is, let's say, the foundation of success or loss, whatever. It can go both ways, I think. So yes, you are a coach because you take the time to look up what you think is best because it's your spell. But the way to get it across to the other one's mind is there needs to be a connection. There needs to be some synchronization in thoughts. Otherwise, it will never happen.
Yeah, and that's a big compliment for our football staff when we are talking about Danny and Adri and Alphonse, that they are giving us the space and the trust to do what we are good at.
Yeah, because that was my next, well, it's going to be an interview anyway, I don't care, but I'm asking the questions. But how is this, let's say, this culture installed in you guys? Because you can put five coaches and, well, this is a perfectly aligned story so far, but it comes from somewhere. So it's either installed by leadership or somebody finds the right people, or it's the culture in Groningen. You learn it by working here for a couple of years. But how does this, because as a coach, creating a team that goes one direction is one way, but you need to implement the staff as well. So how is, should I call it? What is the best leadership in you guys' opinions to get also the staff and to create the right culture in the right way? Long question. Sorry. But how should the leader act? How should the coach act to get the right culture?
Yeah, I think leading by example is a big part. And I think if you enter the coach's room, everybody in this room is willing to develop himself. So if we show players we want to develop ourselves, it automatically will develop, influence the players as well to develop themselves. So I think that's a really big part. For example, Danny is only 39, if I guess.
Yeah, I think he's 39. Yeah.
Yeah, he's quite young to be a head coach already for 4 years now. But he's also mentioning, also in front of the players, the whole group of the players, if he did something wrong during the game, tactical decision, for example. He's just saying, okay, sorry guys, I made this decision, but if I look back now to the video, yeah, it was wrong. And I think he shows himself really vulnerable, but really strong as well. And I think players really appreciate this kind of behavior.
Okay, understand. So this leader should set the example first.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Maxime. Yeah.
In what way does it help you that that you, does it make you feel safe? Or I can imagine that you are stepping into a coach room, sometimes it could also be hostile. We all know the football coach's room where there is a lot of egos, but in this case, I don't hear it. What does it make, what does the best, what creates the best atmosphere in that coach's room?
Well, what Danny always says, it's not about the person, it's about the quality of the work you do. So, for example, if someone makes a mistake, that's absolutely no problem. But don't make it 10 times, because then it's not, then you're not delivering the quality of the work you have to win games and to develop the players. So if someone is has some critics on you, it's never personal. And we know that from each other. So if I said to Jarno, okay, I would do this differently, then Jarno can think, okay, it's critical on me, but it's not on him. It's on the maybe the exercise or maybe the things he does, but only to improve the process to develop players. It's not about about the person. Okay. And yeah, I think we all agree on that, that we see it all that way.
Okay. And for you, I can imagine again that you have, let's say, a profile of each player that you know how to connect with him. Somebody likes the one-on-one talk, somebody doesn't care if he's called out in the group, whatever. Sure. Do you also know it with the staff? Do you know each other's preferences? Or
I think I have quite a clear idea to how to approach all of the staff members. But
is it something that you talk in a team? So, okay, yeah, Jarno, just give it to me straight up. And you say, no, if you have some... Do you know? Is that process there as a team?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for example, some of our staff members like a direct conversation. So no chit-chat, but just say how it is.
Yeah.
And they are totally fine with it. Also, if it's negative, that's absolutely no problem. And everyone is different. I mean, within the staff, we are absolutely not the same. And that's also in the group of players. And I think that I have quite a good idea on how also to approach players and which player can handle feedback in a group, which player in a group. That's a lot of players don't like that. So, but some players don't have any problem with it. So you have to find a way for yourself to approach players and to give them feedback on the things they do. And yeah, that's how we try to make them better.
But if I look at you as a group, do you do anything, maybe when there's a new guy or in the beginning of the season, that you, well, there's team building in a staff as well, and then there's team building with the whole group, etc. But is there, did you do anything to get connected with each other, or did you go boxing with Jarno or whatever? What is there something that you do?
I think the most interesting part of the, for me personally, the most interesting part of the human being is when people get stressed and get fatigued, because then you are, seeing and hearing not how they really are, but how they are reacting when they are in a stressful situation. And yeah, we can talk about it a lot, but football, you are in a stressful situation where you are playing in the Kuip against Feyenoord for 50,000 people. So it's really important that you are observing how people are preparing themselves, perform during some that kind of critical situations. I was thinking about your leadership question. And I think when you are looking at our team, and we are now talking about our coaching staff, is that people really want to be connected with each other. Also for our football players, of course. But first, the coaching staff has to be, there has to be a really high level of connection. On every chair, there's some kind of specialty, and you have to know where they are good at. So I come back at what I said in the first couple of minutes, they need autonomy. If you don't have autonomy, you know, you are more like a follower doing this, doing that, but you are just having that voice on the backside of your head from, please, can I do what I am good at? So you need autonomy. You need the freedom to show how good you are. I think that's really in this club, in our coaching staff. And of course, yeah, you have to be competent because, you know, you have to be good at what you do. And I think that's really, I think the basic needs people have. And I think also the football players must have. And also we as human beings in this coaching staff. And yeah, I think if we, when those three things are in this club or in this organization or in our coaching staff, I think then people will develop themselves. And yeah, that's like, I think the basic needs people must have.
Yeah. And if you, of course, it works that way. And it's like, again, leadership and it's an example. If players see that the staff works together like that,
yeah,
it forms a unity.
Yeah.
Some, because in any moment, there's going to be a moment that you are maybe facing each other or you're it's a constant dynamics. But this, if they see, okay, the staff has their issues, but they're working together and they're like a whole, then it's going to affect the players for sure.
Yeah, well, it's a good, because Mike Tyson had a good quote. He said, you know, everybody's got a plan until they got punched in the face. So I think that's you can plan whatever you want. And I think it's good that you write it down with a pencil. But, you know, day by day, you will see that the way how people adapting on our program, you always have to maybe do a little bit more, do a little bit less. And yeah, I think when you are really good at observing how people are just coming in and their body language, I think that has to be some, that you have to train that as a coach. And it doesn't matter what kind of coach you have, but, you know, just look at their body language and you get a lot of information how they are going to war with, you know, when they are good prepared or going to war without a good preparations. And I think you have to be really good at that body language, because, you know, then maybe on before you can have a conversation about how they are feeling and, hey, what's wrong? I see something different. Yeah.
And that's in every aspect. So. Yeah. There's a physical body language, but there's also a body language or a way is maybe showing energy or that he's sitting next to you because he has to sit there or he's sitting next to you because he wants to sit there. It's completely different, of course.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, we're getting an idea on how the performance culture of Groningen develops or is on a daily basis. But I want to go to a little bit of a technical golden nugget from this visit. And because we're already 45 minutes in, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going fast. Yeah, it's going pretty fast. Yeah. When I was thinking about this podcast, actually this morning, so how can I get the best out of this situation with all this expertise on one table? What do I want to ask these guys? Okay, how can these guys help coaches out there with their preseason? And then we can look at it very technically because we did culture, which is going to affect, of course, all the process because it's almost the foundation of what you do. But how can we prepare physically the best in a performance style, lifestyle, and into the playing style or use the playing style in your preseason to be ready for the season? So that's kind of my big outline for part two. Yep. If you like this episode, share it with your colleagues, share it with friends, share it on social media, like, subscribe, do whatever you do best and help us grow. Because the bigger we are as a podcast, the bigger and the more inspirational names we can invite to inspire you. And do not forget to pick up your 14-day free trial at thecoachesroom.com. With your free trial, you have access to all our masterclasses, both the live ones and the on-demand ones. Coaches from top European academies share their knowledge and you can watch it. So go to thecoachesroom.com and pick up your 14-day free trial.